Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's a story from Sam Goldstein.
I've been in law enforcement for a very long time and originally started in New York City. I became a deputy with the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office in 1978. I did 30 years full-time and I retired. I've met and had contact with thousands of people in my career. And you never know how you touch their lives. The incident occurred approximately 1985. I responded to a domestic call. And being a law enforcement officer, domestic calls are usually the worst kind of calls to go on because you don't know what you're going to be walking into. This occurred in the West Boca area, in the area of Southwest 18th Street and Powerline Road. It's a very nice area, condos, high-rises. It would be upper middle class. I responded there, and at that time, we were pretty far and few between with having backup. So unless you really needed backup, no one came. You were the Lone Ranger at the time. So I went, knocked on the door, and I could hear that there was a loud verbal argument going on, and knocked again louder, and the door opened up, and there was a woman very upset, in tears, probably in their mid-50s, and I was probably in my mid-20s. We are trained to de-escalate situations, no matter what it is. There's a training that we had, was called verbal judo, and we were trained in that, on how we use keywords to try to change it from a hostile situation to try to make everybody take a deep breath and just kind of relax. And it's easier to talk to somebody when they're talking kind of lower than everybody is screaming over one another. And the first thing I asked if everybody's okay, because a lot of times during a domestic situation there's violence. They assured me that nobody was injured, there was no contact, no violence at all, just strictly verbal confrontation. And it was obvious that the husband was intoxicated. And I've dealt with intoxicated people my whole career. I do not like people who are drunk because they don't think straight. So sitting down, I was able to calm them down, de-escalate the situation, and I wanted to know what was going on. And she was really upset because he wanted to go and drive the car and go somewhere, maybe to get more alcohol, I really don't know, to a bar, and she would not let him leave. So she took the keys and she hid the keys from him and would not let him leave the house. I sat down and I spoke and I explained about drunk driving, how it not only hurts the family, it could also hurt other people. I know personally people who are alcoholics, and they don't really think about anybody but themselves. They want that drink, and they'll do anything for that drink. And I guess there's different categories of alcoholics, but not being a expert on that, I sat there and I spoke to these people. And I really put the fear of God into him. And I remember that I told him that I'm not the only officer in this area. Being with the sheriff's office, we have a lot of deputies. And I found out the description of the vehicle, the color, and I told him that I was going to notify all my coworkers about the car, and that if they see him driving, he will be arrested for DUI. He was never arrested before. He just enjoyed drinking, and you know, you're impaired and you don't think straight. And I explained to him that the life that you could hurt could be very serious. You could be involved in an accident, kill a child. I said, do you want to kill a child? Do you want to kill yourself? Do you want to kill somebody else? It may not just be yourself. It could happen and you could hurt someone else. He assured me that he will work on his drinking and they were okay, and I left. And you never get a call what happens after. Because you just go to the next call, to the next call, to the next call. Approximately 20 years later, I happened to be in that community doing a program for safety. And this woman, after the presentation, walked up to me. She says, "Hi, my name is Mrs. And she says, "You probably don't remember me." And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm sorry, I don't remember you." She says, "But you changed my life." I said, "Well, how did I change your life?" You know, being in law enforcement, I have saved many people's lives, and I thought maybe she was in a car accident that I assisted in or something. I really didn't know. She told me, "My husband never had another drink after you sat down and was very compassionate and explained to him. He never drank again." I was on such a high. We hugged. She thanked me. She didn't know how to thank me. And you touch people's lives, and you never really know what happens after.
Sam Goldstein with a story about the benefit of being a police officer.
And having an ability to engage in verbal judo.
What is verbal judo?
Well, I am guessing from the clues that came out in his story that it's knowing how to defend yourself verbally when you need to. Everything I hear about martial arts is that they're really not about doing harm. That's not the goal of martial arts, to do harm unless you absolutely have to, you're able to, right? And I kept thinking while he's telling the story of a different profession, of the medical profession, first do no harm. That's their saying. And I thought of how some other kind of an officer in such a loaded situation. I mean, he said that domestic abuse is the worst thing. Nobody wants to go answer a domestic abuse call because they're so bad. And also that in that time, there was no way to call for backup unless it was really important. There just wasn't the backup that there might be today. And his first question was, "Is everybody okay?" Because there's often so much violence. So somebody else who was not as well trained as Sam might have walked into this situation and might have exacerbated it, or certainly wouldn't have had the outcome that he did. So above all, I think this is a story about what excellent law enforcement training can do.
I have such admiration for this line of work because it's not that glamorous, but he must have saved a lot of lives.
Absolutely. And in these days when there is so much warranted criticism of police officers and sheriffs, deputies, and all over the country, this is a story that reminds us a little bit about what it's like day to day on the job for somebody who's doing his job well. And I love stories about people at work. You know, there's a reason that so many sitcoms and movies take place in the workplace. We spend so much time at work. And for many of us, and I might say particularly for men, I don't know if that's as true anymore as it used to be, but our identity is wrapped up in our work. And this is a man who certainly appears to have a whole lot to be proud of.
And while he assume that he saved a life by a car accident, he was taken by the fact that he saved someone from drinking alcohol ever again, and that really affected him.
Yeah, and he repeats it twice in her words, in the wife's words, he never drank again. You know, we ask people very clearly and consciously, we ask people to be informal. Don't write these things down. Just play the movie in your head. That's the best way to tell a story, right? So this just came instinctively, intuitively from his head, subconsciously. He said that the woman said he never drank again. And the next line was, do you recall?
No.
"I was on such a high." And all I could think was how beautiful the juxtaposition between the kind of high you get from drinking and the kind of high you get from saving somebody from drinking, and how the high that Sam was on was so much more natural, healthy, authentic, long-lasting, inexpensive, everything else. I mean, it was just a beautiful juxtaposition.
And that happened years after the incident.
He said 20 years later, yeah.
Thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. I understand you're hosting a story slam this evening?
Yes, it is 5 to 7 p.m. in Boca Raton at the Robot Brewing Company, 2621 North Federal, just south of Yamato Road on US 1.
And if someone would like to submit a story to the Public Storyteller, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email at cneile, that's C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.